Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Contreras, ground ball, it sneaks through. It got under Henderson's glove. It's head-scratching time in the eighth as Contreras is 4-for-4, and the Brewers are back in front.
I'm trying to do my job every time I go out there, whether it goes well or not. Balls are just finding grass right now for everybody, not just myself. You know, it's tough, but we have to keep on moving on. Eventually, something will change. Manzo, for me personally, he's one of my favorite coaches on the staff. Love him to death. He knows when to keep it real and when not to.
When you've been sitting in this seat for a while, I think, you know, what a manager does is they're able to think 2-3 innings ahead. I'm fortunate to have, you know, French and Trinos and Klimek and Ashy and all these guys kind of around me to where they're making sure that we don't miss something. But, I mean, they're on top of it. I'm getting closer to being on top of it. But, yeah, a few days into this, it's definitely slowing down a little bit.
Is Kershaw available?
All right, have some fun here in the crossover, talking to Jeremy Ned, Big Bad Morning Show. Old Bobster here with you, all by himself, as the old song says. Well, me and Nolan are here, so that's a duo coming to get you, like Mick and Keith, Lennon and McCartney, Sonny and Cher, Captain and Tennille. Come up with a duo. We got you covered. Peaches and Herb. Ryan Ripken be back tomorrow. He's taking care of some things. But we heard from the Orioles there. And this season of despair continues to go poorly. And I don't want to say rock bottom. I mean, you would think you're in the midst of a 7-game losing streak. Yeah, this is a streak. This is a losing streak. Your manager's already been bleep canned. Your GM is hated right now by the vast majority of the fan base. And then it could get worse. They're sitting here, 7-game losing streak, first time since 21, when they were the worst team in baseball. A season which ultimately netted them Jackson Holliday with the number one overall pick. And they competed yesterday. Set hits the 3-run homer, ties it up. And then Yennier Cano, just to throw it out. Don't really like to get into stats in the first segment, but we got to bring this up. Yennier Cano, in the month of May, which is now 19, this is the 20th day of it. He's 0-4. With a 12.79 earned run average. And what's painful about what happened last night, two out walk led to the eventual game-winning run scoring. And the Orioles, of course, in the top of the eighth, had an opportunity with a runner in scoring position and two flyouts, Adley and Holliday, to left field. They couldn't cash in. Milwaukee did. And Milwaukee had been struggling. Joe Namath style, going into this series. And yet they tighten it up a little bit. The guy whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce was the opener, the lefty. And then the other guy comes in who we thought was going to be the starting pitcher, Priester, and he pitched well until Mears gave up the homer. But the Orioles just continue to find ways to lose games. 1-for-6 runners in scoring position. Hell, Brewers were 4-for-18. Goes to show you how many opportunities they had to blow that thing open. But to their credit, Baltimore did bounce back and battle back, It's still a loss. And Nolan McGraw, as we head into game two of this series, Keegan Aiken's going to be the opener, and Chase McDermott's going to replace him. Rock bottom is, I don't know if we've seen it yet. If they break, I texted you Saturday when they were down, what, 7-0 to the Nats. I said, if they come back and win this game, they're going to turn the season around. Of course, they didn't. They went out and got their pants pulled down on Sunday, too. But have we seen rock bottom with this team? Now 16 games under 500, 12 games out of first place, and we're not even into the Memorial Day portion of the calendar year. Yeah, their compete level was up yesterday, and they're putting up more crooked numbers. When's the last time they've had the lead? I guess Friday night against the Nats when they handed that one to Washington. But just having a lead has been a few and far between occurrence. But yet another painful loss into the Milwaukee night, and seems like more despair could be on the way here.
If this is not rock bottom, I'd hate to see what rock bottom actually looks like. That would be pretty scary. Because for, again, the talent that exists on this roster, underperforming talent, but it's still talent nonetheless, this is about as bad as it gets. And I don't know why after Cedric Mullins' homer last night that I actually believed that last night was going to be different and this was going to be the one. And especially when they got two on with one out in the top of the eighth, here's your opportunity. It's been very few and far between, but this is right here. It's right in front of you. And they squandered it. And when it comes to Yennier Cano and blowing it again, I mean, maybe I got to eat crow here on the whole manager thing, thinking that a change in manager would spark the team while ignoring the fact that the guy that's making your bullpen decisions now has never done that before and is openly admitting that, hey, I'm kind of learning on the job here. We're just having fun. I'm getting a little more comfortable. You know, the more I hear Mancelino talk, I'm like, this is the guy they picked take over?
Look, he's a lifer. His old man was a coach and manager for many, many years at the professional level, for sure, minor and major. And Mancelino himself took over for Francona a couple years back in Cleveland on interim basis. But as I said, and I'm not claiming to be the smartest guy in the room. I'm the only guy in this room today. And if it was full capacity, I would be the smartest guy in the room, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. But fire and high chains, nothing. Because they're just playing poorly. They're just not good enough. Maverick Hanley, now he might be Johnny Bench compared to what Gary Sanchez was. But Laureano's heating up. Maybe you trade him. But others are having a really hard time getting their footing here in 2025. And firing Brandon Hyde, in my opinion, meant nothing in the grand scheme of things. He's not the one to put together this crap roster. Mike Elias did that. And Elias himself, to his credit, admitted as such. It would be nice to hear him do it into a mic. Remember how pissed we were at Mark Andrews for not saying, hey, I'm going to tell you everything you already know. I feel like crap. I dropped a pass. I cost us the game. Still hasn't said it, by the way. Sent it out via social media or whatever it was. Couple days later. Mike Elias, do we need him to say, I screwed up to feel better? I kind of do. Because Brandon and I got the gaffe. And I thought it was unfair. I thought he built up enough equity to at least deserve to ride out the season. Now, if he's still the manager and it's 7 games in, then maybe I'm even kind of like you. Like, I don't know. I think he's kind of lost control of things. No, it's like when they fired Senior, Cal Senior in 98, or 88 rather. They started 0-6. They brought in Frank Robinson. They lost 15 straight. They were 0-21. And the next year, he won Manager of the Year. I think this is a flush season. Unfortunately, there's way too much ground to make up. Too many teams you have to jump over. I mean, they need, Nolan, they need like an 8 out of 10, 12 out of 14. Kind of the opposite of what they're doing now with the losses, because what they're doing now loss-wise is killing them. They need that to happen just to get to 500. mm-hmm. right now, and I don't see that being a reality with this team the way it's put together.
No, not even close. And poor roster construction aside, it's just been extremely puzzling. I mean, what before the season, at least on this show, we were all very optimistic. I think I may have even had the Orioles in the ALCS, yep. even though I had them as a wild card team and the Yankees winning the division. But what was your floor for this team? I mean, it was still a winning record, right? Couldn't be no worse than 82 wins.
Yeah, 85-77 right. eking into a wild card. Because you, me, and Vinny have talked about it. If Eplin, Grayson, Morton, Povich, Sagano, they're healthy, it's still a subpar starting rotation based on other teams and other factors. And then you lose Grayson. Grayson Rodriguez hasn't thrown a pitch for them in a major league game since last July. And it doesn't look as though that's happening anytime soon. Then Eplin gets hurt. Povich seems to be finding his way. Sagano's been okay. Kramer's been all right. And he scuffle-cityed a little bit last night, battled through to get into the sixth inning. We knew that was going to possibly be the reality. But to expect the offense to bottom out, Kowser again's been out since the first series of the year in the cage. Westberg's been out for, what, 3 weeks now? And apparently, according to Brandon Hyde, has been hurt since that Toronto series. So they're not at their full complement of bats. O'Neill's been on the IL twice. Sanchez, who wasn't doing anything anyway, he's been on the IL. Offensively, they've been dreadful, and Adley's struggles have become maybe the most mystifying sports theme that we've heard since Tucker was stinking it up in the first half of last football season. Now that we kind of know maybe he had other things on his mind, hindsight, but what has happened to Adley Rutschman offensively, nobody can explain it. No one. Because even Mike Exceeds was like, what's happened to him is one of the biggest, like, what the bleeps mm-hmm. in baseball in the last year.
And the fact that he's only one story in this season. I mean, you could argue it's the biggest story or one of the biggest, but it's not the only big story or the only big negative around this team. So my whole point about mentioning the floor there
sure.
is, all right, full catastrophe before the season. You mentioned all the guys that are going to get hurt. The slumps out the gate. I still would have said, all right, 75 wins, that's full catastrophe. They're going to struggle to win 55. I mean, this could end up being worse than 2018, another year that they were expected to be competitive, not on this level. I mean, this year they were expected to be playoff team.
They were one of the, what, top six World Series right. favorites coming into this season.
In 2018, the money they spent made them a contender that year. We'll go ahead and classify that. They couldn't even win 50 games that year. And that became, again, they sold off at the deadline. It was a full fire sale at the end. They went all in on the rebuild. But still, there were things in years down the road that came out and were written about that team that they mentally checked out halfway through the year. They were done. The clubhouse was not united. I think we're seeing that here. And I'm not making these grand overarching statements, but to struggle to win 55 with the talent on this roster, I don't care about injuries. I don't care about who's slumping, all the things that are going against you. That just should not be. It just shouldn't be the reality of this team.
Well, they, what, 15-31, so they need to win 40 games to get to 55.
Their pace is worse than the 19 Orioles that won 54.
Yikes. And that was Brandon Hyde's first season, full season, as manager. And I was looking at Baseball Reference this morning, trying to do some, you know, whip around stuff. And they're now less than 1.01% chance of winning the World Series. Less than. And they were like in the 20s going into the season. They were one of the favorites to win the American League East, not just by us Orange Kool-Aiders. And I picked them to win the East because I didn't think it was far-fetched at all. But now they're 5.5 games behind the Rays for fourth place. Only the White Sox are worse than them or in the American League. And then you got the Rockies. They might be historically bad, too. But are we at rock bottom? Like to say so, but I think the worst might be yet to come. A month from now, do you start selling? I mean, if you're Mike Elias, are you making phone calls now? knowing that this turnaround is probably not going to be realistic. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, ripping it with Ryan. That'll be tomorrow. Vinny's on vacation. You want to vent? Get on in here. Is this rock bottom for the Orioles? They lose a tough one last night, but a loss nonetheless. Seventh straight. 410-583-1057. Turn it up Tuesday here on The Fan. Because remember, what, 2-3 weeks ago, he was doing a tour. Like, it was right now.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A book tour review. Hey, just want to remind you, we were cool. I got Brandon's back. Don't forget to buy my book. Then he fired him. Now he's out there explaining why he made said decision and probably eating a little crow. And he's going to get peppered, and rightfully so. Orioles lose last night 5-4 late as the losing streak now reaches 7 in Milwaukee. Game 2 of that series tonight. Keegan Aiken is the opener for the Orioles. Looks like Chase McDermott will come in immediately after to hopefully get them deep into the game and, you know, maybe get a lead. And hold on. Actually, they led last night. 1-0. Laureano hit the home run. All right, let's go to Dave in Mount Airy. Dave, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, Bob, I was just calling to correct you because you did in the last segment, you said, when's the last time we had a lead? We did have one last night. You're right. But then what does Dean Kramer do? Comes in, walks the leadoff guy, gets a double, gets two outs, and then they got the number 9 hitter hitting 169.
0 for 24. He was 0 for 24. Yes.
Is it me or does Dean Kramer give up a run every time after we score? It's painful, man. And then we're a defeated team. Did you see Gunner late in the game? He grounded hard out the first base and then jogged up the first. I love him, but he never does that. We're just a team that has no juice right now. It's really really hard to watch.
Yeah, Dave, I hear what you're saying. And, yeah, Gunner gets the frustration rolling out there on his sleeve. Look, Kramer, last couple of starts he's battled. The previous two starts he was great. Got no run support. But Kramer's the least of my concerns with the Orioles. But to your point, yeah, you get the lead. Laureano's been on fire. What do you have, 3 more hits last night? And then they give it right back. But they come back. Let's be honest. When they were down 4-1, Nolan, I thought they were toast. And then Seth hits the 3-run jack to tie it. And like you, I said, hey, this might be one of those 2023-2024 sort of comeback feel-good wins. Unfortunately, 2-out walk, base hit. Right.
But it's the fact that
we're, and you had the tying run on second base, though.
Without the homer, it wouldn't have happened. Cedric or anyone else up in that spot, they're not hitting a single the other way to drive those two guys home or finding a way. They're not even scoring on a wild pitch there. The only shot they had to score is if Cedric went yard. And he did.
Yes, he did. An impressive blast at that. His 10th of the year, quietly, which gets lost in the fact that the Orioles have been terrible. Let's go to Charlie at Columbia. Charlie, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, thanks for taking that call. I would like to see them bring up the Mayo and the younger players. Get rid of these veterans. The season's lost. And let's see what these guys can actually do. You know, play these young players. Cal Stowers never really got a shot here in Baltimore. He's tearing it up. So I believe, and second, I think Elias needs to go after this season.
Well, Charlie in Columbia, thanks for the call. I don't think he goes. He's going to pick the new manager. I would think that would put him in the crosshairs of David Rubenstein, however. And Sig Meidel feeling a little heat here the last couple of days from Oriole fans because he's the analytic guy, kind of tied to the hip with Mike Elias. Brandon Hyde gets the gate. I know a lot of you were happy with that decision, but as I warned, I don't think it was going to change anything in the immediate or in the long term. Tony Manzolino is the interim manager. You still want to play hard. You still have a job to do. But I don't know if Elias gets fired in the offseason. You never know, though. If this turns into they've lost 15 of 18 and they lose, if they win 55 games, you've already sacrificed your manager. Does David Rubenstein go full in house cleaning?
And if you're Elias, you can't just like sit on your hands here and hope that, okay, if I don't make any moves, I'm just rolling with the resume that got me here. No, you have to sell. So moves are going to have to be made. You're going to be judged on that as well.
Now, Mayo comes up to replace who? Mountcastle?
I mean, theory? Full time, unless there's an injury or someone gets traded, it's not going to happen.
And Kobe Mayo's not going to duplicate what Ryan Mountcastle does defensively at first base. So we haven't really seen him do much offensively at the major league level. He had a home run, I think, last night or two nights ago down in Norfolk. But we know he can wear out AAA pitching, so can Esther Kerstad. They haven't done it consistently enough. Kerstad's had more of a sample size, and every time he gets cooking, something happens to him. Mayo, he's looked really overwhelmed at this level. And when Westberg went on the shelf, and Arias, he had the golden opportunity to rise up and seize the opportunity, and he did the exact opposite of that. And not only didn't he hit, which is supposed to be his calling card, he looked atrocious defensively at third base. He had one through the wickets. I mean, you want to throw one in the stands, hit the hot dog vendor, we get that, or Bobble City here, but like one literally going through your legs like croquet, that's not getting it done.
Yeah, I don't think the youth movement is going to start until August. But you would get 2 full months for the guys like Mayo to play almost every day.
Would you would like to see Ryan Mountcastle get a little hotter with the power numbers, though? Mm-hmm. Because, again, the season is probably long. Laureano would be an attractive outfielder. Hey, he got traded to Atlanta last year, or claimed off waivers, whatever it was. And when Acuna got hurt, he helped them get to the playoffs. So Ramon Laureano's got playoff experience with Oakland and, of course, now with Atlanta. He could help somebody. Zach Eplin certainly would be an asset. Could Cano be someone to get sacrificed?
Not at this rate.
We got time for a call? What do you think?
Well, let's break.
Let's take a break. And if you're on the phones, we'll get you. 410-583-1057 is the number. The Orioles have lost 7 in a row. Is this rock bottom? Nolan says no. Or if it isn't, I hate to see what is. They do play tonight at 7.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
0-4 with a 12.79. He took the L last night. The Orioles in the month of May. Nolan, off the top of your head, how many wins do they have in May?
2?
3-13.
Oh, close.
So I want my booze back. God, I want to bet.
That's not how it works.
No. Jonathan, throw a curveball by you there. Anyway, so the Orioles, they're scuffling. 16 games under 500 per 7-game losing streak in multiple years, trying to get back on track as they keep fading and fading and fading in the American League East and ultimately into the American League wildcard discussions, unless things turn around dramatically, which, quite frankly, I don't see happening anytime soon. You get Westbrook, you get Kowser back, maybe you'll be a little more competitive offensively, but is it really going to be enough? I just don't see it happening, unfortunately. But have the Orioles hit rock bottom, or is that still to come? Later in the program, by the way, 11 o'clock, Kevin Allstriker, USA Today. Ravens Wire talked to him about OTAs coming up in less than 2 weeks. And Derrick Henry met with the media yesterday, signing a contract extension. Ravens expected to be strong Super Bowl favorites. And if the Ravens don't get deep into the playoffs, we're going to have some problems here. A lot of you want Harb's gone now. Believe it or not, there are people out there that think Lamar sucks, which is mind-boggling to me, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Let's go to Bob in Edgewater. Bob, what's up?
Hey, Bob. Hey, you mentioned Rubenstein before the break. You know, if I paid $1.2 billion for this team, I can tell you I'd be making a lot of wholesale changes besides the manager, but notwithstanding, I want to make 3 quick points.
Yeah.
First off, over the past 2 years, this pitching staff, for the most part, was built on waiver wires and cash considerations and poor trades, except for Bradish and Batista. That's number one. So we've never gone out and really, you know, spent the money, so to speak, on the pitchers or gotten a good trade in any of these pitchers. Secondly, I want to know these young 20-year-old first and second round picks on the offseason, what the hell are they doing? Is Jackson Holliday the only one that's got an off-season regiment where he's lifting weights and working out in his baseball operations farm or whatever he's got?
Yeah.
Clearly, it's made a difference. I want to know what the rest of these guys are doing. Were they working out? Why do they now come to the camp injured, and why are they so injury-prone? And then number three, I read something, I guess it was on X. No, it was on YouTube. Some guy that has like 100,000 followers put together a trade with trading Eflin, Seti, Mauny, Sagano, Laureano, Soto, and Dominguez would net us 9 decent pitchers from various teams. So that's, hey, I'm all about that. Let's do it. Let's unload all those guys. And don't wait till July. Do it now while their value's high. Yeah. Who knows? Seti might go into a slump. So could some of these pitchers. So, okay, Bob, that's it.
I'm done. Right,
one last thing.
Yeah,
Bob,
yeah.
One last thing. I do not want to see Bradish this year. Shut him down. We don't need another John Means who re-injured himself and needed a second surgery. Don't even tempt putting Bradish in this rotation.
Tyler Wells, forget the same it. Thing, Bob.
Well, I don't care about Tyler. He sucks. Bradish is our guy.
All right. Well, hey, Tyler Wells, thanks for the call. Tyler Wells, you know what, all-star break of 23. He had the lowest whip of any starting pitcher in the American League, then kind of went haywire. So I don't think he sucks. I mean, if you look ahead to next year, because Eflin will be gone, who knows what Grayson's going to be. But I agree with the no Bradish, no Wells. Hopefully Grayson, Povich, I mean, Kramer. But Elias has to go out there and net himself a pitcher of the Corbin Burns variety. Look what the Yankees did. And I granted the price tags and the money's spent, blah, blah, blah. Gerrit Cole's not pitching this year. Luis Gil hasn't thrown a pitch yet. But they signed Max Fried, who's been brilliant. He's one of the Cy Young leaders in the American League. Orioles should have traded for Crochet or at least made a real deal to try to get him in here. Signing Blake Snell, that would have been a catastrophe because he's hurt now in L.A. And they tried to make Burns the highest paid starting pitcher in baseball, shorter term deal, but he wanted to go back to Arizona. Okay, we got that. But all the names you mentioned, most of them are pending free agents, I think, or impending. Is it pending or impending? Impending
makes me think doom.
Yeah.
Impending doom. Well, pending's more of a good thing.
Yeah, Mountcastle's the only one who won't be a free agent after this season. And he's going to be in the last year of his deal. So I'm cool with that. I don't know who the 9 pitchers will be, but they're going to need a lot of those. And you're hoping that Kobe Mayo comes up finally and does his thing. Or do you maybe flip him? Because, see, that's a conundrum. Quandary. Because you're not competing. You trade Mayo if you're trying to add to help you win this year, right? You're not trading him just to trade him. I don't know. Let's go to Rob in Bel Air. Rob, it's very frustrating. English voice. What's up?
It certainly is. But do you remember, Bob? I mean, I know you kind of remember. You're a big Orioles fan. They used to be from like the late 60s to the 70s to the 80s, one of the top baseball teams in all of baseball.
They were one of the best organizations in all of professional sports, much less baseball.
And then they go into these horrible seasons, and they, we're back. Then they go back into these horrible seasons. Just less than, almost a year ago at this time, we were talking about how the Orioles could win another 100 games. And now we're all of a sudden we're talking about it's time to get, you know, they fire, you know, Hyde, and then they're talking about Elias. I mean, it is amazing how things can turn so fast in this offseason. Let's be honest, it was atrocious. I mean, nobody got excited about Morton coming here. Tyler Wells, I know Santander is not doing as great right now for the Toronto Blue Jays, but he was that spark, that guy in the dugout. Bob, who is that spark in that dugout right now?
I don't know if they have. O'Hearn looks to be the guy that wants to be the spark, and Cedric Mullins as well. Hey, James McCann was respected in that clubhouse also, and you know he's now toiling in the minors in Atlanta. But I mean, what's Gary Sanchez done to replace him? Nothing. And he was brought in, brilliant mind that Michael Elias is, and I'm not trying to say he's a nincompoop because he isn't, but we sucked against lefties last year. Laureano, O'Neill, Gary Sanchez were brought in to help remedy that problem, and they've been the exact opposite. Laureano's wearing out while he hit the home run last night. It was off a right-handed guy.
It was last part in that game last night, watching that game going, okay, it's 4-4. Mullins is on first. We got, you know, maybe this is going to be their chance to beat a underwhelming Milwaukee Brewer team. I mean, they got some talented guys, but they're not the Milwaukee Brewers they were last year at this moment. And then the bunt caught, you know, it seems like what if they win a game, I think fireworks will go off all over Baltimore. That's how it's getting to be.
Yeah.
And it's got to be frustrating calling those games for Ben McDonald and Kevin Brown. I mean, they get excited. It gets to a point, Bob. Now we're talking about, oh, the Orioles are hitting the ball hard.
Well, you saw last night, hey, Rob, thanks for the call. I got to get a break. During a game where the guy was like yelling at his wife, and then they caught him on the Masson app, and that became like a talking point where people behind him were like, dude, you know you're on TV right now giving your wife the business or whatever she was. And then all of a sudden he turned into like the San Diego Chicken, getting everybody all fired up. So they got a lot of time to, at least last night, they actually had a close game to discuss. But usually by the third inning, it's like, hey, his favorite food is peas. We'll come back, take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Talk Ravens, Kevin Allstriker. Ravens did sign a defensive lineman, they think, going to replace Michael Pierce, and Derrick Henry sticking around. Ravens are loaded and ready to rock and roll. And I tell you what, if they start similar to the Orioles, oh, everybody's going to be, because people want John Harbaugh fired now. Imagine if the Ravens get off to a slow start. Later on in the program, Birds in Milwaukee tonight, game two of this three-game set. Orioles lose last night, 5-4. Brandon Hyde's gonzo, can't blame him. Mike Elias going to meet with the media coming up later on in the afternoon. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Len in Bel Air. Len, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, Bud, how you doing?
All right.
Good. People don't think about this, or maybe I'm thinking about it wrong. You know, if you got a business and you hiring people and the people don't do their job, what do? You get rid of them or you move them around. Well, the owner of the Orioles, he paid a lot of money for this team and it's supposed to be a business. Every time you talk to one of these guys, gets all this millions and millions of dollars, they say, well, it's a business. Well, you know, they got to treat it like a business. If they don't produce, set them down. I mean, they got to, if the guy that comes up that plays in their position is better than him, then hey, he can try to get back in the team. But if not, they got to stop talking about all this stuff and do something. You know, I mean, how long has this been going on?
Well, since last July. Hey, thanks, Len. They did fire the manager and they fired the bench coach after last season, got rid of both hitting coaches. So they've been doing something in regards to tweaking things, in regards to development and who's filling out the lineup cards or whatever. But what they didn't do was upgrade the roster. It's obviously a worse team now than it was when they got swept by Kansas City. And injuries have had a role in that. We can't diminish what the effect is. Jordan Westberg, in my opinion, next to Gunnar Henderson, second best player on the team. He hadn't played a lot this year, and he got hurt last year. In the second half, remember, he took the fastball, broken hand, wrist, cost him almost 2 months. Grayson Rodriguez hasn't thrown a pitch for them since last July. I mean, these are big absences for them. That being said, $73 million spent by Mike Elias in the offseason of David Rubenstein's money, by the way, did not yield them much in return. Sagano's been fine. Laureano's been fine. But the rest, not so much. So they've done things to tweak in the dugout. But on the roster, if anything, they're as worse as they were, first half of 2022, pre-Adley and pre-Gunner. Let's go to Ray in Baltimore. Ray, what's up?
It's been a long time, Bob. It's been a long time, man.
Yeah, how you
feeling?
Don't
you didn't like me anymore, man.
No, I'm here. How's your, well, you don't call as much as you used to, but...
The holds, man. You've been passionate, so I don't want to keep anybody waiting.
No, you're good. It's just me and you right now. Go ahead.
Hey, listen. I'm used to the 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock bar. Back in the day, when I used to listen to you on another station, used to be burning out the keister when it came to the Orioles doing bad. You mellowed out over the years. So with that being said, I want to apologize to Brandon Hyde. This is a philosophical issue, right? You know what I mean? I'm not going to complain about the hamburger when the hamburger isn't directly the problem. It's the onions. It's the cheese. It's the mustard or the mayo that's missing. And speaking of the mayo, call them up. At the end of the day, you know what I mean? What else you got to lose? This season is a loss because the next important game that Baltimore fans want to care about is going to take place on September the 7th at 8:25. Let's see what these young kids can do. Let's see these Ron Mountcastle experiments and all that. Let's just get out of it. And finally, before I hang up the phone, it's a philosophical issue. It's not directly on Brandon Hyde. Remember the sandwich analogy. At the end of the day, you know, are you going to trust Mike Elias to draft and do another offseason? Because we're running in a crucial point, a crucial time when it comes to this so-called championship window. Catch you on the flip side.
All right, Ray, thanks for the call, as always. And the sandwich analogy, too. You could have the greatest cut of Angus beef, the greatest slice, personally, American cheese. And I like my burgers medium well. I like my steak medium. I don't want things mooing when I'm eating them. But I don't want my steak to taste like a tennis shoe either. But I digress. Freshly sliced garden tomatoes, onions. But if that bread stale ruins the entirety of said hamburger, and maybe things got a little stale with Brandon Hyde in regards to Mike Elias and how he felt. But to your point, Ray, they have to spend money this offseason because they're going to be out of players. How many players are on expiring contracts on this roster heading into 2026? They have got to spend dough. David Rubenstein looks like a guy that's willing to do so. He wants to end the World Series drought that goes back to 1983, Reagan's first term. He wants to get that done. He don't have time to be waiting and bleeping around. So if he says, Mike Elias, go do something, to your point, and I guess a lot of people feel the same way now, is Mike Elias capable of getting a blank check and going out there and filling needs appropriately instead of just putting Band-Aids on this, Mercurochrome on that, here's a whole reference, and everything else. Right now, this team is hemorrhaging. Last place, 16 games under 500. We'll come back, shift gears, get into the Ravens. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens wire, as Derrick Henry signs a contract extension. Ravens did sign a defensive tackle to replace Michael Pierce, a veteran guy coming off arguably the best season of his career. So Kevin will talk about that. Whip around 11:15. Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. New AD at the University of Maryland. He'll be introduced on Thursday. McDonald's All-American signed with Buzz Williams yesterday. And a potential Mickey D's All-American is going to decide where he's going on Friday. It's between Maryland and Duke. Wouldn't it be good to beat them at something?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.